Our message comes from John, the Gospel of John, 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11. That's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Verily, truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved or kept safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This morning, I want to share from the subject, do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? My brothers and sisters, we may never have raised livestock, but we understand this parable. You've got a shepherd and you've got some sheep. The shepherd is appointed by the master to be in charge of the sheep. He owns the sheep. He knows the sheep. He leads the sheep. We understand this concept of shepherding, at least at the forefront. We understand that in its application to our relationship with God, we are God's sheep. We belong to him because he made us. Consequently, he knows us and he desires to lead us. That is pretty easy to comprehend. And that would be the end of the translation of this parable if all Jesus was trying to teach his disciples was the art of blind followership. You do not have to be a farmer to understand that even animals do not follow without recompense or reward. There is a motivation for following. We follow in expectation. We expect something for our loyalty. In fact, loyalty is built on expectation. No one follows a leader who does not promise to deliver. Even those who seem to blindly follow our president have expectations. So what of this voice that Jesus says we recognize? What is it in this voice that draws us to him? For the answer, we have to get and dig a little bit deeper. Jesus is teaching us three characteristics of good shepherding in these first 10 verses of the 10th chapter of John. This is important because there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. But let us take a look at these characteristics of a good shepherd. First, a good shepherd owns his sheep. Notice when Jesus spoke this parable, he used the pronoun of personal possession. Look at verse 4. He says, his own sheep. A good shepherd takes responsibility for that which he possesses. Jesus is saying that by virtue of creation and redemption, all the sheep are his. But possession is not enough. In the hills of Judea, the mountain shepherds and their trained dogs could recognize a single sheep among many others. If the flocks became commingled, the shepherds simply separated their sheep by calling them to him. There is a unique relationship between shepherd and sheep that trains the sheep to know his voice. If Jesus is your good shepherd this morning, there is a surrendering that must take place. Jesus' desire is that his sheep will know his voice and become his in the truest and deepest sense through the surrender of heart and life to his claims. But you must enter in by his door. You must reach out and willfully turn the knob, open the door, and step in. Remember, Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him. I will eat with him and he with me." When you do, then you can say like David, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you are the property of the divine shepherd, then he knows your name and address and is ready to meet your need as it arises. That's what Jesus means by possession. Tell yourself, "Jesus owns me." Secondly, if Jesus owns you, then he knows you. Further on in the same chapter of John, Jesus says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." This is where he expresses the closest union and communion between the shepherd and the sheep. Being known by him and knowing him implies far more than just knowing his voice. It implies that we are partakers of his nature. We are one with him. We can say Jesus and I are one, just as Jesus said, "My Father and I are one." The Father knew all about his only begotten Son. Perfect knowledge existed between Father and Son, and perfect knowledge exists between shepherd and sheep. If Jesus knows you, then you bear the mark of divine ownership. He recognizes you, and just as importantly, the other sheep will recognize you too. The shepherd of the Middle East knew all the particulars of each of his sheep. He knew their history. He knew their defects. He knew their temper and their taste. In fact, he named his sheep according to their particular characteristics. In the same manner, Jesus knows you too. He knows your history, whether you have changed since you came into his flock. He knows your defects, those weights and the sins which so easily besets or ensnares you that need his divine intervention. He knows if you are talking about people or telling them about Jesus. He knows your temperament, whether you are willing to let go of your will and allow his will to take over. He knows your taste, whatever will entice you and draw you closer to him. Jesus has a comprehensive and perfect knowledge of each of his sheep. Nothing can be hid from him. David knew this when he said, "Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely." Growing up in church, one of the phrases I used to hear people say all the time, and still do, is, "The Lord knows my heart." That was the phrase people would use when they could not come to church for whatever reason. That was the phrase people would use when their giving wasn't in according to what God required. That was the phrase people use when they would give excuses why they could not serve the Lord according to his will, his word, and his way. Understand that when Jesus says he knows you and he knows me, he is not just saying that he can distinguish you and I from the multitude. The word "know" here is much more profound. Anyone can distinguish you by your hair color, by your skin tone, by your voice inflection, by your height or your eye color. But Jesus knows you. He knows what other Jesus cannot know. He knows the entire interior of your being, and he perfectly discerns all there is to know about you. You heard the saying, you can fool all of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But let me add, you can never fool God. So do not forget that he truly does know your heart. Now tell yourself, Jesus knows me. Jesus owns you and Jesus knows you. But there is another truth here that must be exposed. Jesus does not just own you, you own him. Jesus does not just know you, you know him. This relationship is reciprocal or shared. There ought to be some visible evidence of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you walking better? Are you talking better? Are you doing better? If Jesus owns you and he knows you, you ought to be spilling over with pride. You ought to be bubbling over with testimony everywhere you go, and you ought to be his witnesses. Then finally, a good shepherd leads his sheep. In our mind, the shepherd follows behind his sheep, driving, prodding, and urging them forward. That is our Western interpretation of the art of herding. But in the Middle East, the shepherd led his sheep. He used his voice to get them to follow him. That is why Jesus said, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There is no prodding, there is no pushing necessary. It is a willful surrender to a shepherd whom the sheep trust with their lives. Sheep seldom find their way safely. Other animals may do it, but sheep usually go astray. They will follow a goat up a mountain and get stuck on a dangerous ledge. They will follow a wolf into the bush and get their wool entangled in the brush. That is why they need a shepherd to guide them and to guard them. And Jesus warns that other shepherds may call the sheep by name. You do know that Satan knows your name as well. But if the sheep know their good shepherd, they will not be fooled by imitation. They can discern a strange voice, and they will flee from it. The scribes and the Pharisees were shepherd imitators. Their voices confused and misled the sheep. And because these same false shepherds could not understand the parable Jesus was uttering, he reiterated and repeated his significance. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved or kept safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture." So let's recap this parable. Jesus owns you and you own him. Jesus knows you and you know him. Jesus leads you and you follow him and only him. That is it. It is that simple. If we allow it to take root in our hearts. Let me close by saying, there was a man who was standing at his garden gate with the mailman one evening when two little children came by. As they approached, the man said to the mailman, "Watch the difference in these two boys." He took one boy and stood him up on the gatepost, and stepping back a few feet, he folded his arms and called for the little boy to jump. In an instant, the boy leaped from the post and the man caught him. Then he took the other boy, propped him on the same post, and told the second boy to jump. The boy trembled and refused to move. Finally, the man went and lifted him up off of the post to safety. What makes the difference in the two boys asked the mailman. "Oh, that's easy," said the man. "The first one was my boy, and he knows me. The second was a stranger's child whom I've never seen before. My brothers and sisters, do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know his voice? Do you know the one who gave his life for you and for me? If you do, then you trust him to keep you from falling. Do you know the Good Shepherd? If you do, then you trust him to lead you and guide you. Do you know the Good Shepherd? If you do, then you are the sheep of his pasture, and you should be willing to cast yourself into his arms. Do you hear his voice? He is calling you, pleading you for salvation. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Why not let Jesus be your Savior? He owns you. He wants you to own him. He knows you. He wants you to know him. He will lead you and guide you all the way if you know his voice.